You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Hebrews 11. That's where we are. We've been teaching on the book of Hebrews, and we've gotten to the 11th chapter. In fact, we're going to be on the 11th chapter a while, I think. We started Wednesday, and I've been trying to do a chapter, a session, but not going to happen. We're not with this chapter anyway. This might be a little while, but we'll get through it. We went through the first seven verses and talked about faith in general, and then talked about people who changed their times or their ages when they lived with faith. In fact, really, we took spent a little time on that third verse, and I'll say that again because it is a little different than we normally read that. I really believe this is what it's saying. Doesn't have anything to do with your salvation, going to heaven or hell. It's not heretical to interpret this way, but I believe the Scripture does merit interpret this way. Third verse says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made by things which do appear or things which are visible. Normally we read that as God creating the world, and by faith we understand He created the world from the invisible to the visible. But I believe He's not talking about God here. I believe He's talking about what God's Word will do if you confess it and say it. First of all, the word world is not the word worlds as we know it. It's the Greek word aeon. It should be ages. Anyone have a footnote that says ages? If you have footnotes, it probably does say that because that's what it is. The whole context of this 11th chapter is men and women who have changed their age, who have changed their world, not earth, but their age. And how did they do it? They did it with the Word of God. They framed, actually the word framed here means to restore, to repair, to fix, to mend. Well, He's not talking about how God made the earth. Hello? He's talking about how they fixed, repaired, restored, and mended the age they live in. They changed their age. And then He begins to list them and what they did. And throughout all the ages of man, we have seen men and women who got a hold of the Word of God, who repaired and fixed the age that they were living in and made a difference. And it's an example for us to follow. We need to fix our world. We need to fix our age, where we live. How? With the Word. The Word here is rhema, or spoken Word, of God. Hallelujah. Now, if that's just too much for you and you can't handle that and you just don't know about that, put it on the shelf. You can still go to heaven if you don't believe it that way. Are you with me? It doesn't change the fact that God did make the world. Of course He did. Of course God made the earth. Of course God made the universe. No question He did it. And He did it by the Word. We know that. I'm just saying in context here, I don't believe that's what He's talking about here. Because the whole context is people who, by faith, did things. And He just got through telling us in the 10th chapter to not cast away our confidence. Confidence is the Greek word, really bold speaking. To not quit speaking the word boldly. Amen? And then He tells us about people who did speak the word boldly and who changed their dispensation of their age. Anyway, we went in detail on that Wednesday night. If you want a little more information, get the tape, CD, DVD, VHS, or just come by my house. We'll talk about it. But He talked about the elders. He talked about Abel. He talked about Enoch. He talked about Noah. And then He comes down to the 8th verse. This is where we quit. We got through 7 verses. Right. All right, everybody ready? Amen. Okay, well, look like it. Smile. Come on, help me here. 8th verse. By faith, Abraham. Hallelujah. What a man of God. I mean, you look at Abraham, the father of faith. That's what he's called, the father of faith. Amen. His whole life was a life of faith. I mean, it wasn't perfect. He messed up too and had to repent. But you know what he was commemorated for, what God honored him for, what is recorded, what is written, is what he did when he believed. Hallelujah. And of course, there were consequences to his sin. That's recorded too. Thank God for the Bible. Thank God this is not some hyped up book. This is God's book. And He tells it like it is. It records not only the good things, but also the bad things that people have done. The sins and the faithfulness of God's people. And it paints them in a human light. David and all of his greatness, who was a man after God's own heart, it records his sins. Abraham, who God called a friend, it records his sins also. There's no star here except Jesus. Hello. And I like that. Are you with me? That means when I sin, it's wrong, God's against it, but you know what? God can still use me. If I repent and get back on my feet again, God can use me again. Amen. And what delights God and what He majors on in my life is not all those sins, but He majors on the accomplishments, the times I've trusted Him, the times I've believed Him. Not a one of us out here is perfect. Not a one of us out here could stand the scrutiny of a detailed audit of our life. Not a one of us. So we've got no stones to throw. We're not advocating sin. We're not saying it's okay. It's wrong. God tells us it's wrong. We've suffered consequences because of it. Are you with me? But the good news is, when God forgives it, it's gone. Hallelujah. And He does not deal with us according to our iniquity. Aren't you glad? God doesn't deal with me according to my past. He doesn't deal with me according to my upbringing. He doesn't deal with me according to my parents. I have not inherited the sins of my father. I am a born again man. Hallelujah. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, and God deals with me according to my faith. Are you with me? And when I repent of something, it's gone. God doesn't bring it up. I don't need to bring it up either. And you don't need to bring it up in other people's lives. If they've repented and they've asked God's forgiveness and they're trying to serve God, then hook arms with them and help them down the road. Amen?
Amen?
Let's get out of that past. Forget the past. Let's look into our glorious future here. Well, it says, by faith Abraham obeyed. I love that. I'm just having I'm having trouble serving God. You're having trouble obeying. Why are you having trouble obeying? Because you're not believing. Well, that went over real big. Hello? We usually try to match wits with God, or we say, well, I really want to do this. Well, God doesn't want you to do it. And if you really trusted God, you know He's got your best interest in mind. He really wants to help you, and He's trying to get you. He wants you to live long. He wants you to have a good life. He wants you to be a witness, and He wants to flow through you. Now, when He says don't do something, He has a reason for that. And if we trust God, although we may not understand everything, if we'll trust God, then we'll obey God. Oh, hallelujah. I think I just preached myself happy here. If I trust God, I'll obey God. Amen? And when I have not obeyed God, and I have disobeyed God before, I'm not standing here saying I've never disobeyed God, but when I have disobeyed God, it was because I did not trust Him. I went my own way. I did my own thing. I thought I had a better plan. And I was wrong. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. King James says, which he would afterward receive. I love that. Because really, when we start out believing God and trusting God, we're standing on something and trusting God for something that we will afterward receive. It doesn't happen immediately. It doesn't happen overnight. But if we'll get on the road, we will get there. Faith will take us there. We walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. You know, sight reveals things at a distance. And if you'll follow sight, you'll come in contact with what sight reveals to you. In other words, you can see the door at the end of this surface. And you will walk toward that door. And sight reveals that door before you ever get to it. It reveals something that you will afterward receive if you follow sight. Now, if you don't follow sight, you won't get in. You won't receive it. You won't get it. You won't touch it. You won't manifest it, as it were. But if you'll walk by sight and not by feeling, because right now you can't feel the door. Can you feel the door? I can't feel the door. Not now. I can, if I follow sight, I'll be able to feel it. Hello? If I follow sight, I'll finally come in contact with what sight reveals to me. But sight tells me of things that are way off. And faith does the same thing. Faith tells me of things that are way off in God, but if I'll walk by faith and follow my faith and talk my faith and walk my faith, you know what? I'll begin to feel it. It'll manifest, and I'll come in contact with it because I'll get closer to it, see? And that's what Abraham did. He didn't know everything, but he knew God said go, so he went. Not knowing where he went, but he obeyed. And he afterward received. Ooh, hallelujah. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance or afterward receive. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Listen, I don't know everything in the future. Thank God I don't know everything in the future. I don't want to know everything in the future. Just point me in the direction I need to go, and we'll figure this thing out as we go along. Are you with me? But I want to make sure I'm headed the right way. I want to make sure I'm going the right direction, that my overall goal is good, that it's God, that it's His will. Now, the details, well, they just come as life comes. Life is a surprising, confusing thing sometimes. You don't know what's happening every minute in life. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You can't even do a job and anticipate everything's going to happen on the job. I mean, you get all your stuff together, all materials, get all your tools together, and you get in and you go, wow, I'm going to need this. Or this came, oh, I didn't think about that. Oh, I didn't know this was going to happen. Hello, but you've got your overall plan, and you're headed that direction, and you're committed, and you're determined. And you know, it's amazing, if you don't stop, you finally get the job done. You have to pick up a few things along the way and have to make a few adjustments, but you keep headed that direction. You don't quit. Are you with me? I didn't know what all it would entail and take place, what all would be required for us to be where we are today, 25 years down the road. I thank God I didn't know everything I had to do to get here. Are you with me? Well, many of you have been married for, you know, 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 years. And Brother Rufus, 75. Rufus and Brother Rufus, Sister Murders. Did you know what all would take place for you to be married this long? It would be overwhelming. I think it would just be too much for our little pea brain to figure, hello, all we had to go through, you know. But now I don't say it in a negative way. I'm just saying, really, it's been a wonderful ride. It's been great. In fact, the good has far outweighed the bad. Even the losses in love. You know, I've heard people talk about don't give your heart to anything because everything's going to fade away and everything's going to pass away. That's actually one thing St. Augustine said that he was wrong about. St. Augustine said that only give your love to God, not to anything else, because everything else will fall away. Don't give it to another person because it'll fall away. Just love God. Well, I understood he loved people, but he was wrong about that statement. It's worth you loving people. Yeah. It's worth you loving. Even when the loss comes, the love so far greater than the loss, it outweighs the loss. Yeah. That's right. I mean, if you want to protect yourself, go right ahead. Protect yourself from the pain of loss. Protect yourself from the pain of the loss of loved one. You can draw yourself into the shell, and you can be untouched, and you could just be hardened and become cold as stone. Now, what have you got? You got nothing. No, you need to love. Are you with me? Amen. See, there's a process. There's something that we go through here. And in serving God and believing God and trusting God, there's a lot of pitfalls along the way, a lot of obstacles, a lot of sharp edges in life. But you know what? When I get there, God will be there too. Amen. And His provision will be there too. And one day I'll look back at all this. It'll be worth it, hallelujah, because the years rock on and I'm going ahead. I'm going forward, praise God. And I'm staying on this road. Abraham decided to obey God. Not knowing everything that it entailed, but knowing that it was right and that God would help him and God would undergird him. You commit to a good marriage, let me tell you something, there's going to be challenges. But it's a worthy goal. Amen. It's worth the ride. Amen? Amen? You commit to serving God, let me tell you something, it's not always going to be peaches and cream. It's not going to be just perfect. It's not going to be a bed of roses every day. There's going to be challenges. You're going to be challenged as a Christian. But it's a worthy ride. It's a worthy goal. And I'll tell you, it does get better. And you'll never regret making a decision to serve God in your life to make these right commitments. Abraham was a man of faith. He wasn't perfect. He was a man of faith. And he by faith obeyed when he was called to go out and went to the place which he would afterward receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. But by faith, it says, 9th verse, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. And it goes on to say, not only him, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, his son and his grandsons, the heirs with him of the same promise. God's got a family involved here and a family in mind here. He doesn't just want to bless you, he wants to bless your children, he wants to bless your grandchildren. He wants you to perpetuate this thing. Amen? And here's how you do it. You do it by faith. This, in one sense, is the land of promise. This is the promised land. These are the promises of God. Everybody say promises. Wouldn't you like to live here? I can tell you how you can do it. By faith. By faith, you can set up shop, put your tent up, and live right here in these promises. You, your children, and your grandchildren. And the good thing about it is your children get to hold it. That means them, their children, their grandchildren.
Right.
And the good thing about that is your children's children get a hold of it. Well, you kind of get the picture, don't you?
Yep.
It just keeps going on and on and on.
Yep.
But how do we live here? How do we dwell here? We dwell here by faith. We set up our tabernacle, our tent. We set up our tent right here on God's promises. What does the promise say? When you lose a wallet, what does the promise say? Where do you set your tent up? Where do you put your faith? See? This is the... Woo, come on, I want to take you to the promised land. Come on now. This is the promised land. This is the land of God's promises. Oh, hallelujah. This is where we're supposed to live. But there's only way you can do that. The only way you can do that. You got to be a member. Special community here. Okay? You got to be born again, see? And the rent is faith. I'm not talking about being saved. I'm saying if you are saved, you can live here. Doesn't mean you will live here. You can be saved, not live in these promises. Because you're not paying rent or paying your payments or whatever. What is faith? All you can do is believe. But if you will believe, you can stay here.
Amen.
You, your children, and your grandchildren. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a camp meeting on that right there.
Yeah.
Praise God. I don't know what promise it is you need. You may be living on barely get by street. You know, you need to move out of that community.
Yeah.
You may be living on just barely got enough street. You know, just enough street. Well, you need to get out of that community too.
Yeah.
You need to get over here into more than enough.
That's right.
This is more than enough community here. The God who's more than enough.
Hallelujah.
And it's time you packed up and moved. Because listen, God hadn't moved. He's still here.
Yes.
You're the one who's moved. You need to come back home, see?
Yeah.
Come back to the promised land. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it says, by faith, he, ninth verse, see, we're rolling. We're already in two verses now, right?
Yeah.
8, 9. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, or the promised land. Land of promise. As in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. I just can't say enough about how God is into families. God wants families saved. God doesn't just want you saved. He wants your family saved. He doesn't just want you to serve God. He wants your family to serve God. And that's a promise. They are heirs of the promise. My children are the heirs of the promise that I accepted and I believed on when I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. God had a plan for me and my whole family. Now He's got a plan for their family and for their children because the promise they're living in is for their children also. You need to get the big picture. This is a family affair. This is a family deal. This is a family business. This is all about a family, a father and his children. God's our father. Acts 16:31 says He'll make a way for you and your whole household to be saved. It is the will of God that you perpetuate this thing. I've seen poverty perpetuated. Are you with me? I've seen people that get on welfare and perpetuate it generationally and generationally and generationally. Somewhere we got to stop that insanity. Somewhere someone's got to stand up and say, I'm a child of the living God. It doesn't matter where I was born or what color I am. Are you with me? Or what my social standing is. I'm a child of the living God. Hallelujah. I'm born again. Jesus is my Lord. My God will supply all my need according to His riches and glory. And start another cycle, a cycle of blessing, a cycle of prosperity. I don't know how you're raised. I don't know where you came from. It doesn't matter. You can start a whole new life. You can start trusting God and believing God. You can come out of whatever you came into. I thank God for my parents, but you know what? I'm responsible for where I'm going from this day forward. I'm responsible for my children and my grandchildren. It's not a matter of who my parents were or how I was raised. It's a matter of whether I'm going to believe God or not. Whether I'm going to pick up and go to the promised land. Did you know Abraham left his whole family?
Yeah.
And started a whole new life? On God's word. He left Ur of the Chaldees. He had erred in Ur. He was an error in Ur. Chaldean Empire, southern Iraq, present-day Iraq, where that was. In fact, they've actually dug up that city, and they found these religious shrines. They call them ziggurats. It's kind of like a pyramid, but not quite like a stepped pyramid. But it was the center of worship in a town. The whole city would be built around this shrine or this ziggurat. And they worshipped, in Abraham's case, in Ur of the Chaldees, they worshipped the moon god. The moon god was Nanu. You remember Mork and Mindy? Nanu, 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 Nanu. Anyway, I don't know where that came from. Just scratch that. But anyway, the name of the god was Nanu, or and Nana and Nanu, the god and goddess. And they worshiped that, and the whole town was built around that. That's what God called him out of. You know, Joshua, he talked about Abraham, and he said when he divided up the land for all the tribes, Joshua talked about Abraham coming out of Ur of the Chaldees where they worshiped other gods. That was his family. But you know what? Abraham made a break. The Bible's filled with men and women who made a break, who went another direction, who trusted God. I mean, it's just filled with stories like that. It's stirring when you read the Bible and you read about the men and the women of God who were changed by the power of God, changed by their whole destiny, by just a change, a shift in direction. They looked to the hills from which comes their help. They looked to heaven. They called on His name. And their whole life was different. God has a unique ability to do that. But you got to get a hold of that. And it's bigger than you. It's bigger than you. It's your family. It's your grandchildren. I'm believing for my whole family to serve God and my grandchildren to serve God. Yes. I will not go around the world, try to save the world, let my family go to hell. Amen. I will not do that. I will go around the world, stay with me. But I won't do it at the expense of my family. My greatest mission field is my family. There's no one I have a bigger influence on. There's no one I have a bigger impact on. There's no one who looks up to me more than my children. That keeps me straight, keeps me holy, makes me want to serve God. I don't want to mess up. I don't want to give the wrong example. I don't want to lead them in the wrong direction. I remember when God was dealing with me about being saved back, 30-something years ago, 32 years ago. I was in Deer Park, Texas. Well, no, we were in Pasadena, Texas, at Chateau Creole Apartments. I was working at Upjohn Chemical as an industrial spray painter's helper. And, this foreman I had was witnessing to me and just stayed on me and stayed on me and stayed on me. And I did everything but shoot him. I mean, I cussed him. I did it. He just kept loving me. He kept loving me and didn't even fire me. He kept witnessing to me. But I remember one day I was sitting in my house and sitting at the table eating my apartment, and there's little Chris. He was about a year and a half old, I guess, about that time. I don't know, he had peanut butter in his hair and probably oatmeal all over his face. I don't know. And I was sitting there at that table, and the thought came to me, just the devil, Well, if I go to hell, I can handle that. It's my life. I do what I want to. No, I'm thinking, I can handle it. I'm a man. I can do what I want to. And the Spirit of God spoke to me. I didn't know it was the Spirit of God then. I know it now, looking back. And I looked over at Chris. And deep inside of me, God says, yeah, but what if he goes to hell?
Yeah.
It was a turning point in my life. It really was. It was a lot of things, but that was a turning point in my life in getting saved. I thought, if I go to hell, and I don't tell him about Jesus, and he goes to hell, no, I can't handle that. Are you with me? See, it's bigger than you. It's always bigger than you. It always is. Because your life, you're not an island, see? You affect people. And my God, you don't affect anybody more than your family. Do I not care? Well, maybe at that point, stupid as that was, and demonic as that was, and wrong as that was, I can make the statement, yeah, I can go to hell. But yeah, could I send my family to hell and take them with me? Because those kids are going to do what you do. Hello. Anyway, I thought about that, and here's Abraham. He was a family man. I love that. God revealed the future to Abraham because he thought about his children. That's what the Bible says. When it came down to Sodom and Gomorrah, God could not hide it from him. It says he knew him because he would tell of him, God, to his children and to his children's children. He was such a family man, and so concerned about his family and his relatives and so on and so forth that God couldn't hide the future from him. It pleased God so much. It made such an impact to him that Abraham was a family man. I can't hide this from Abraham because I know Abraham. He's going to tell his children. He's going to tell his children's children about me. I've got to tell him this. God loves families. He loves families. He loves family people. Church is a family. Are you with me? Church is a family. Abraham, we look at Abraham and all he did, you know, but really it's all about, the whole story of Abraham is about a family. I mean, how can you separate that? The whole story of Abraham is about him having a son. And then about all of us coming in because of it. Like the sand of the sea and like the stars of the sky. Father of many nations. You can't take that away from the picture. We talk about faith. We talk about confession. We talk about believing God and His stamina and His diligence and all those things. But still, it comes down to it was all about family.
Yep.
Woo! Powerful stuff. Amen. I think about Robert and Heather this morning. You know, they got a family. Where are y'all? I'm looking. Oh, there you are. Yeah, they got a family. They have legally now adopted 4 children. And was it Wednesday? Tuesday. Legally adopted. They are now Wheelers.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. How awesome is that? Those children have a mom and a daddy, have a future, have a home. In fact, they're going to, when I finish the service out, they're going to join as a family. They want to come down as Wheelers and join today. Isn't that cool? I mean, that just, man, it's, I won't talk about it. I start crying. Okay. So, 9th verse says, by faith he, Abraham, dwelt in the land of promise in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. See, my God is Chris's God. My God is Amanda's God and Charity's God and Jennifer's God and Jonathan's God. This is the same promise is their promise. Hallelujah. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Brent and I serve the same God. We've got the same Father. It's amazing that my children have the same Father I do.
Yeah.
My grandchildren have the same Father I do. All of us here have the same Father.
Amen.
We are all the family of God. That's wonderful. Praise God. 10th verse says, for he waited or looked for, King James verse says, look for, I'm reading New King James. He anticipated, expected, looked for, waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. See, that's what faith does. Faith looks for what God can build and make. Faith looks for what God can do. Faith doesn't settle for what you can do or I can do or man can do or this world can do. Faith looks, expects, and waits and anticipates for what God himself can do. And that's concluding eternal life or righteousness. See, faith claims the righteousness that God did, not what you did. It claims the righteousness that comes through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes from the work that Jesus did 2,000 years ago. You know what faith looks for in a marriage? I don't look at statistics. I don't care about them. I'm not a statistic. I don't look at what's going on in our community, in our world, in our, you know, in our country to pattern my life after for a marriage. I don't look for that. No, I'm looking for a marriage that God builds and makes. I'm looking for something that God does. Amen? Because faith always looks for something that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know what I look at when I look at my family? I don't look at, thank God for my parents. Thank God for my upbringing, all the good that was there. It wasn't perfect, but you know, there were some good things about it and bad things about it. But still, I don't look to that. I look to the family that God can build and make. When I think about a family, I think about what God says about that, see? And then I start shooting for that goal. I start getting on that road, and I take off, maybe not knowing everything about what I'm doing here, but I know that when I get there, God will help me, and I keep heading toward a family that God makes. Hallelujah. When I look at a church, I don't look around and say, well, we're in a small town, we're in a small community, there's only so much we can do. No, I look for a church that God can build and make. Hallelujah. What would God do if He were here? And He is. So we start looking for a church that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's why we're not limited, although we're in a small town, we're not limited to small town thinking, because we have a big God. And I believe if God were here, God would get out the message any way He could. I believe if God were here, He would build bigger bills to hold more people. I believe, are you with me? I believe if God were here, he'd be supporting missions all over the world if this were his church. And you know what? It is his church. Amen. So what we look at, the pattern we look at, it's not around us. No, the pattern we look at is in the Word. Well, you know, I'm in Wills Corner, so much I can do. Oh, well, I was raised by this in this family, there's only so much I can be. Well, you know, I'm this or I'm that, or I'm rich or I'm poor, or I'm young, or I'm short, or I'm tall, or I'm heavy, or I'm thin, or I'm black, or I'm white, or I'm Hispanic, or... Hello. Stay with me. We are one in God. There's no such thing as black church, white church, Hispanic church. Are you kidding? It's just a church. Come on, there's just a church. It's sad that people try to congregate like that, but God doesn't. He doesn't look that way. We're children of the living God. Yeah. I think the most colorful, integrated places in the world ought to be the church. Yeah. Woo! Man, get me on that. I don't want to go there. But it's family. We're family, and family's not color. Come on, are you kidding? Don't kid yourself. Yeah, I know people, we're talking about adoption and so on and so forth, people that, have been raised all their life in an adopted family, and they're just as family as anybody else and hadn't got a thing in the world with families, a mother and a daddy and children that love each other. I mean, I could go through the crowd and pick out people that were adopted and turned out okay. I tell you what, we can go through people that weren't adopted and didn't turn out okay. Are you with me? It's more than that, see? It's commitment. It's love. It's faith. It's, oh, man. It's looking to God. It's trusting God. Do you trust God for your family? Do you trust God for your marriage? Are you trusting God? See, if you get anything out of that, you want to get that out of this. Abraham trusted God. He wasn't perfect, but he trusted God. For what? His family. He trusted God for his family. He trusted God for his marriage. I tell you, the world needs marriages that stay together. Amen. The world is so messed up. I mean, you know, I'm telling you, the world is dark and getting darker, but the church ought to be getting brighter, and we ought to be getting bolder. Hallelujah. And we ought to have more examples. God forbid there be sin in the church. God forbid, you know, that. No, we need marriages that stay together. Maybe you've been married before, but, you know, you're married now, you're serving God. This is it. Let's make this work. Are you with me? You're stuck now. Because you're an example. Abraham is an example because of what he did right. And you and I can be that same example. Amen? Forget about making any progress here verse by verse, okay? Just take in what God's saying. God's dealing with us about this. Amen? He is. So he says here, he looked or waited or expected for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This is a sign of faith. This is a sign of an example to follow. Be a man, be a woman who looks for what God can do, who expects and anticipates what God can do. Whatever you're doing, start believing for something that how God would do it. Are you with me? Start trusting for how God would do. How would God do this? That's what I'm expecting. That's what I'm believing. That's what I'm looking for. I want a godly marriage. I want a godly family. I want a godly church. I want a church that's holy. I want a church that moves you toward God, that pulls you toward God, that grabs you when you come in the doors. Worship that goes into the high heavens. You know, a word that just pierces your heart and tugs at you and challenges you and charges you and changes you. Are you with me? I want that. That's what I want, because that's what God wants. God wants to tug you and pull you and bring you in closer. See, church ought to move you toward Him. It ought to move you. It ought to shake you. It ought to shake you in a good way, not a bad way. It shouldn't condemn, but it ought to convict. It ought to convict you. And you know, you ought to want to do better when you walk out of here. You really ought to. I mean, there's no question when you come in, if everything's right, you're going to walk out better than you walked in. That's my prayer. That's always my prayer, is that people come in, they walk out better than they walked out. They walk out better than they walked in. But having said that, church ought to challenge you to do better. I'm challenged every time I come. I got to do better. That little prayer we pray right at communion always gets me to search my heart. I can always think of something I need to work on. And it's none of your business what it is. But I can always think of something. God, I got to do better there. God, I repent of that. I repent of that. Hello. That's what church ought to do. I'll pull you, you know, pull you closer to God, make you want to do better. Why? Because this is what we want. What God wants. We want a house God makes. We want a church God makes. We want a family God makes. Amen. We want a marriage that God makes. Praise God. Well, it goes on and says this, and I'll close this out. Goodness. Y'all just see, you just took up all my time with those verses. I could have gone so much further. Y'all must have, all of you, been in sin or something, and that God, you know, just wanted to stay right there so y'all would repent. That's got to be it. But you love me? Okay. It says, for he waited for the city which hath foundations, builder and maker is God. 11 verse, by faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who promised. Oh, my. Faith will give you strength to conceive the seed. How could that ever be? By faith. How could that promise ever come to pass in my life? By faith. You build your faith and you will receive strength to conceive seed. Man, I'd sure love that to happen in my life. Well, it can. It can if you'll believe God. You'll build your faith. Amen? These people changed their world. They changed their ages. Abraham changed his. He framed, fashioned, restored, repaired, and mended what was broken in his life by speaking the Word of God. Oh, hallelujah. He had a child at an old age. Couldn't be. Couldn't happen, but he fixed it. He fixed it with the Word. And the Word can fix your problems too. But you've got to get it in your mouth. You've got to say it. You've got to believe it. You've got to, by faith, step out. Amen? And if you will, you can fix some things. See, we are here to fix things. That's what we're here for. That's why when you see sick, the Bible says pray for them. We're supposed to fix that. Now, I know God does it, but I mean, He uses us to do that. That's why you see a person in sin, you go help them to get out of their sin. You restore brothers and sisters that are getting in sin. Why? Because we're into fixing things. God is into fixing things and restoring things and repairing things. And He does it through us. Hallelujah. Woo. God is good.